Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, this is going to be a pretty special podcast. We've got top class rugby guests and we've got two Welshmen smug from having spent a day at Twickenham. It's going to be a good one. Strap yourself in. Hands in. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Right, I mentioned we've got two Welshmen because we have the pleasure, once again, of Barbarian and friend of the podcast, Bryn Williams.
Hi, Bryn. Guys.
Hello, so, Bryn.
Bryn, because me and Phil had to graft and, you know, earn money to put food on the table on this, as it is, we're recording this Monday, the 6th of July. JB sauntered on down to London and took his Welsh brethren with him.
It was great. It was great.
We'll hear about that in a minute. So, yeah, Bryn and JB were representing the Egg Chasers at Twickenham HQ for the unveiling of England's kit. We'll get onto that in a minute. But I'm just going to start. I don't normally do it like this, but I'm going to start. Oh, hi, Phil, by the way, as well.
Hi, Tim.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with a little quiz, which is stash related.
Oh, wow. Ooh. Straight into it. Not messing around.
And I'm going to put this on the clock. You're only going to have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Ooh. All right.
Okay.
And what I would like, you've all got pen and paper handy and play along as you're listening. What I would like is you to come up with the main shirt sponsor of the 12 Premiership sides that starting September this season.
From September.
So 2015-16 season. Who are the 12 main sponsors for the 12 clubs? So obviously part of it, you've got to remember what the 12 clubs are. Then you've got to try and work out what the main shirt sponsor is.
Oof.
And as the boys are working through that one, I'll just give you all the important information. Get in touch on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. There's been a lot of people doing exactly that. Let us know what you reckon of England's new kit. We'll get onto that in just a minute. And you're going to hear from Mako Vinopola, you're going to hear from Alex Corbisiero, and you're going to hear from Jamie George and about all the antics of Bryn and JB at HQ. I'm going to give them a bit of quiet time now so they can think. One minute left.
Oh, God.
Really?
I'm only on four.
I'll give you a bit of help and I'll just run through the teams in case you've missed any. Bath, Gloucester, Worcester, Newcastle, London Irish, Leicester, Northampton, Exeter Chiefs, Sale Sharks, Wasps, Saracens.
Boom!
Have you done them?
Nearly.
Have a crack at this yourself and then as you're listening to the podcast, tell us how you got on in comparison and be honest at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Bob us a little line. It's quite a challenging one.
I've got a few written down but they're wrong.
Right, Newcastle Brown Ale, right? Nearly out of time.
I think so.
As soon as it bongs, I want you to put your pens down. Now you know our Ayula really felt on countdown.
What on earth is their kit?
Ah! Ow. Ow, it hurt.
Pens out. You've got to go. If you've got one in your head, if anyone's got one in your head, finish writing what you're writing, that's fine. No, okay, right.
Woo! Oh, God, that's terrible.
Right, so I'll go through each team and we'll see who has managed to get that sponsor and you can get a point for each one.
Mm-hmm.
So, start with Bath.
Dyson.
On a ball.
1 point each.
Yeah.
Let's go with Gloucester.
MagnaClean.
Mitsubishi.
Oh, no!
Mitsubishi, no. Phil's got
Magnet
the point.
Magnet Cleaner is one of their sponsors, but it's
yeah,
Mitsubishi.
Yeah, their shirt sponsor is Mitsubishi. Right, Worcester. I'd be surprised if anyone got this.
I have no idea.
Jay?
SW Comms.
I had Worcester Boilers.
It's no,
oh, Worcester! It's Bosch. Sorry,
it's Bosch.
Sorry,
Bosch, it's Bosch,
it's Bosch Group who make Worcester
it's
Boilers.
Yeah, can you check what he's got written down next to Worcester? He hasn't cheated, has he?
I've not put Worcester down because we went in the Premiership last year.
Oh, so you can't have a point for Bosch.
I've got
Worcester Boilers is part of the Bosch Group.
Yeah, but
their Spurs shirts, it has Worcester Boilers on it, doesn't it?
No,
Stuart's inquiry on that one. I'll have a look.
I think it's Bosch. It is Bosch.
I'll have a look.
Let's have a quick look.
I'll have a look. Right, so that's Bryn's got one, JB's got one, Phil's got two.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
Stewards Inquiry dependent.
Newcastle Falcons.
Fairstone.
Yes, Bryn.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, but wow. I've got blanks wow. Next to other ones.
I had Northern Rock.
London Irish.
No blank. Idea.
Blank. No, I've blanked.
Power Day.
Who?
I think it's a financial company. I'm not sure.
Really?
Leicester Tigers. Come on, then.
Cat.
I had Cat, but is that right?
It is right.
Yes.
Northampton Saints.
Oh, it's so annoying. It's Builders Merchant. I can't remember who.
Travis Perkins.
Travis Perkins. None of you got it then.
No.
As soon as you said that, I haven't even written Northampton on my sheet.
I put Juicens, but I knew it was wrong.
Yeah, Churches are wrong.
All right, then. Exeter Chiefs.
Ex-Chiefs, Southwest Comms.
Is correct.
Blank.
But blank as well.
3-3-3.
Ooh. Come on, Beardmore. Come on.
Sail Sharks.
MBNA.
Yep. I had that.
I got it.
Yes, correct.
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
So JB's on three. Phil and Bryn are on four.
I didn't even write Sail Down.
Wasps.
Is it Magners?
I'm blank on Wasps.
I'm blank as well.
New deal last season announced, which was all part of their move towards...
Oh, Land Rover! Yes. Damn it!
All right. And this is the final one, isn't it?
No, yeah. Two more.
Oh, hold on.
Sarries and Harlequins, I've still...
Oh, yeah. Harlequins.
DHL.
Yes, correct. So JB's on four, Phil's on five, Bryn's on five with one to play.
Ooh. Plus my Stewards Inquiry.
Yes, which is Saracens.
Allianz.
I've got Allianz.
Oh, I don't have anything. I forgot.
JB finished with four.
So with the ones we got, we were right. We just had a lot of blanks.
Was to support the Bosch Group. Yeah, fine. Phil gets it.
But is it on the shirt?
It is on the shirt.
It's the main shirt sponsor. Yep. The main word is Worcester.
Worcester Bosch Group. Worcester Boilers, Worcester... Yeah, I'm going to accept that.
Yes!
Good knowledge, Phil.
That is excellent. No, you got 7 out of 12. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I'm going to play you your music as a result. Well done, Phil. Oh, no, that's not... Sorry. You're not stripping for us. Much as we'd like you to.
Not this week,
what
guys.
Have you lined that song up for, then, Phil?
Right, well, I'm going to play another bit of music now because we have got plenty of stash to talk about, and I think... Well, English men wearing not a lot was a great pleasure for JB and Phil.
JB and Bryn.
So I think, Phil, we can just sit back at this point. Let's hear two Welshmen tell us about their trip to Twickenham for the unveiling of the New England World Cup 2015 kit. Come on then, boys.
Okay, so we get there to Twickenham. And we get there, and the first thing that should be noted, it's an awesome event. So Canterbury, just so you know how the event came about, the England fans had to pre-order their shirts. So it's the most ever pre-ordered shirt.
Seriously?
Yeah, so no one knew what it was going to look like, but they pre-ordered the shirt.
They had a good idea, right?
Oh, no, not sure. I mean, you'd be surprised at what they did. They made it white and they put a flower on it. I mean, I am shocked.
Yeah.
So because the fans pre-ordered their shirt, they automatically go into a draw. So it's like, I don't know, say 30-odd fans who just bought out the draw. So after the shirt is unveiled... They then get presented it by the fans. So a real good outreach type.
By the players, you mean?
Yes.
The fans get presented their shirt by a player. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's brilliant already.
It was amazing. It's great.
It was unbelievable. The hospitality was... We were Welsh, so I've been to Twickenham a few times to watch games, and we were just blown away by the whole, like, machine. The Twickenham machine was in full force, and it was frightening.
It was impressive.
It was really incredible.
Have you ever seen those old ESPN adverts? Do you know the ones when they're walking through ESPN offices and they're just, people, athletes in full kits just walking past?
Yeah,
that's exactly how it was today. You'd just be walking along and in full kit, and thank you so much to Natalie from Canterbury for making sure, and they did this for us, putting them in boots. So they were all in boots.
Do you know what? If If this was the last podcast, and it won't be, we're going to keep going, don't you
Maybe
worry.
Maybe it should be.
But if this was the last podcast, I think we can be proud of the legacy we've left.
Absolutely.
Because you've heard us on the podcast over the last couple of years, and you've got on board with us on Twitter as well, and online, and you've shared in our passion for having promotional shots of kits done by players with socks pulled up and with boots on, not trainers. And we highlight it when the Aussies were doing it recently, the Scots were doing it recently with their new kit.
What a difference.
Wearing trainers. Canterbury listened, England rugby listened, Chris Robshaw had his boys, as you can see from the pictures that JB and Brim were taking and putting on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Go and have a look at the new kit. They were wearing full boots, and if that is our legacy, I'm happy.
Yeah, job done.
Hear, hear.
Yeah,
and just to make sure there's no confusion, Canterbury explicitly said they listened. And they made sure it happened.
Correct.
And you heard Jeff Parling saying that on
last
week's podcast.
Well done, Canterbury.
Well done, Canterbury.
It was mega. So, George, by the way, George Cruse, he might not be as big as Etzebeth, but he's certainly the same shape. I mean, there's...
Serious?
Yeah, he might be a mini Etzebeth, because I'm not sure how big Etzebeth is, but George Cruse is massive.
Really?
Yeah, is he?
The two guys that stood out for me to be massive were Marler, who I did not realise was that big a man.
He's muscle bound.
He looks,
wow.
He's just
a monster.
Ball of muscle, isn't he?
Yeah, and Cruse does look like a miniature Etzebeth.
The V of his lats down to his waist.
It's lucky that these Canterbury kits are so extremely well made.
Because they're all in good shape, though.
We got there in the morning,
and then obviously they unveiled the kit, and then they brought out Mike Brown, Owen Farrell. Corbagiero, Courtney Laws,
Goode.
They all came
Andy
on.
Not Andy Goode,
unfortunately.
Alex Goode.
We can't have it all.
Yeah, Jonathan Joseph. They all came on stage.
Oh, Jonathan Joseph looks
we got some
great,
pictures
in, his,
with
great
them.
In his new kit.
And Courtney Laws, just a dwarf.
Massive.
He is huge.
Massive.
But
he's lean, isn't he?
There's a picture
of
me on
very
stage,
thin.
And I'm 6'5", and I look tiny.
Really?
Next to him. Yeah. He is a big, big man.
Manny, you boys, I've seen a picture of you stood next to Corbs. And you both look bigger than him, bigger and broader.
Yeah, well, Corbs is an interesting one, right? Because I just helped myself into a room full of England players. And I thought, well, this is the media session, right? So I sit down with five players. All right, gents. Well,
I love this. bearing in mind, you two are Welshmen. I can't tell you how hard this is for me to listen to. Because I'm really interested to know what happened at Twickenham. But also, I'm like, oh, God, me and Phil, we could have been there. Yeah. Just going, oh, yeah, just went into a room, sat with five England players.
I did get removed by someone from Canterbury. Yeah.
The lady from Canterbury came and said, where's JB? I said, oh, he's gone in there.
Where is he?
There. Chased him out.
She gets on earpiece. Code red. So I thought, well, this must be it. So may as well talk to him. So I helped myself to a seat on their table. And I introduced myself and said, at the end of every podcast... This is Alex Corbisiero. We have you rapping. What do you mean? So I sang him his rap.
Well, I'll just play a little bit of it now. We haven't played it for a little while, so about time.
Keep it kind of quiet. People on a diet. Scrum is straight.
There it is.
I don't deny it.
He said he actually learnt rapping because he used to spend his summers in New York and he had friends out there and he used to do it and he's always enjoyed it, so he stuck with it, he said.
Yeah, he said it came very easy.
Do you know what, Bryn Williams?
Facts.
You get Phil's facts sting. Well done.
So I said to him, can you rap for us? And he's like, I'm not sure. But at this point, Callum Clark's eyes lit up because, rap, mate, you got to rap. And then they all started like getting on top of him. He's like, no, come on there. I need to be in the mood. And then Canterbury whisked me back out.
So as an Englishman, as an Englishman, I want to know, what's the changing room like? I want to know, what's the atmosphere in the squad like?
The atmosphere is brilliant in the squad, I can tell you now. They're like a close-knit
band of
brothers.
Yeah, they
really are.
We said on the train back that it just felt like a rugby team that you'd come across, any other rugby team, I said, they're like us, just a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Like
not all of them, but yeah, a lot of them are
they're
better
like
than us.
They're just, like I said, you couldn't get close to the England football team, could you? You couldn't get close to, like, you know, a lot of professional sports people. But these guys were so engaging. And nothing was too much trouble. At the end of the day, when we were leaving, we'd been there from like 8:30. It was 12:30, and we were due to finish at 12:30. It'd gone 12:30. Chris Robshaw, there was a queue of people waiting to try and get his attention because he was doing loads of photos. And a lady gave him an out and said, look, it's gone 12:30. You know, we're going to have to pull Robshaw out here. And she went over to him and he said, no. And like literally... nothing was too much trouble. Came over, spoke to everyone.
Good lad.
Yeah, like shook our hands.
They all just couldn't do enough.
And we came away from there thinking, what a good bunch of lads, to be fair. Like, you just, we were shocked at how engaging they all were and how approachable. You see some players on TV and you think, he looks like a little bit, like Dave Wilson looks, I couldn't believe how young and in good nick he looks when you see him. Yeah, like Dave Wilson, you say, would look a little bit portly, but he's got that shirt on. Now, I've seen someone in the shirt who's not a professional rugby player today somehow, and he doesn't look anything like Davey Wilson looked. Davey Wilson looked very good.
Yeah, I'll tell you a weird thing that they did with us. They took us on a tour with five England players, all in their full kit, which I think get uncomfortable after a while. Daly.
Rob Webber.
So the whole squad were practically there then? Yeah.
Some of them were at Stonehenge.
Yeah,
because
they were parachuting,
the kit down to Stonehenge.
Oh, wow.
So we had these guys.
Matt Mullen.
Yeah. Was it Matt Mullen? Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were taking us round, and we went to the president's suite. And you know who the president is this year? Don't you? It's Jason Leonard. Yeah. President's suite is brilliant. I was like, what do these guys do? And say, oh, yeah, they just get blazers and they, you know, get beard up and they go around, they make important decisions. Like, this is not what you want to be telling your players. Because if I was a player now, all I want to do is hang up my England kit and put on a blazer and become an old boy. It's the ultimate disincentive to a player to carry on playing.
Some of those players have different priorities from you, though, Jay.
Oh, they were impressed. Matt Mellon was like, these guys travel everywhere, you know. They're all the Six Nations game and they travel away.
So, changing room, we're all going to be watching the game as England run out at Twickenham.
Well, okay, so
in the first match against Fiji, but what is it like? You've seen the dressing room.
Yeah, it's great.
We walked through the tunnel. We went pitch side and the pitch looked like, it literally looked like a golf green with thicker grass. It was frightening how good condition.
That is definitely the most intimidating part of the whole thing. I mean, it's empty and you get a real feeling of the significance of the stadium. It is just... running out onto that thing must be terrifying. I mean, I've never understood when people say, oh, he bottled this, he bottled that, but I do understand it. And that was empty.
We went in the changing room and there's loads of little touches around the place that just gives you an idea of this sense of history. So there's obviously 22 changing areas and the changing areas are big. So there's a bench, you've got it's got sides to it, so you've got a bit of privacy. And then on the wall, so say you're a tight-head prop, on the wall is got in that number three position every name of whoever's got 50 caps or more for England.
Wow.
So
yeah. Awesome.
I looked at the second rows and took a picture, and it was, players like Martin Johnson.
So the five shirts.
Ben Kay. All these names. So any player in that position who's got 50 or more caps, their name's
on. What have you got?
Underneath the bench, you open it up, and there's a PowerPoint, isn't there?
Yeah,
to charge your phone and whatnot.
Yeah. For Snapchatting,
and
I guess.
Another really good touch is in the middle of the change rooms, there's two benches, and the benches haven't left Twickenham. They were the original benches from 1936.
Awesome.
So they were like people, and there's a big thing there. It was that people have put a lot into this jersey. Make sure you leave it in a better place than where you found it.
Yeah. Now, there's also a bit of an awkward moment. They showed us a video, and we have two completely different opinions on the video. So I don't know how much we're allowed to.
Where were you when they showed you the video?
We're in the change room, and it's on the big screen, right? Now, just let me give you some background to this. So we're not going to tell you exactly what was in it because I don't think that's fair. I don't think they want us to.
Because they're going to unveil it on the eve of the World Cup on it to the fans.
Yeah, so I'll be careful.
Oh, you guys had the best day ever!
They confiscated our phones at this point, so we didn't.
You've got to give
everyone's phones.
How are you doing at the minute, Phil? What was your day like?
Don't ask, Tim. Just 20 minutes ago, got out of a 12-hour shift.
So, this is better.
thanks, Jay.
So go on the big screen.
Yeah, so you hand in your phone, you've got a seal it up, write your name on it, hand it in, and then they put this video on. Now, I wasn't a huge fan of the video, and I'll tell you why. Because to me, it just... The way that they've done it is, I've said, all the players, when they play for England the first time, they get a shirt and you write on the shirt what it means to you. And I believe that when you write on the shirt what it means to you, you'll probably come up with some catchphrases. Like, do you know what I mean?
So you're just being cynical about...
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. So just rewind. So when every player gets their first cap... Before they play the first game or afterwards?
The producer of the video basically said that he to form the script for the video, he'd spoken to current players, past players, and formed a script from what their opinions of what the jersey meant, and also every player when they make the debut get given their shirt and they're asked to write what what it means to them. So whether it's, you know, representing your family, yourself, your country, or what you've done to get to that jersey and what it means to you. So it could be anything. And they use that for this script. And I watched the video. I had goosebumps. Yeah. And I thought...
I was a little bit more cynical about it. But,
you
know, okay.
If you watch that, are you guys going to be allowed back across the border to Wales?
Well, yeah, it's a bit...
Here's a question for you. What would you write on your shirt? Because I've got a feeling everyone would just put their, like, oh, family or something like that. Not right,
but,
actually
but
what
don't,
they mean.
Don't belittle that. That's...
No, the honour of it. And everyone does play for their family and their they play for their own reasons.
Do you know what,
no, do you know what I would write? I would write, I'm doing this for... And my brother will probably listen. He listens to the podcast, so we all know exactly what I'm talking about. We started playing rugby. We didn't have a car. And Newbury Rugby Club was about 3.5 miles from where we lived. And my mum used to carry 2 kit bags, mine and my brother's, 3.5 miles to Newbury Rugby Club. And then after an hour and a half training or match or whatever, and then she'd walk us 3.5 miles back.
Wow.
And so, and I'd probably go, that's what I did it for. Those hundreds of miles that my mum trudged up and down.
I get that, but I'd probably write on mine, I told you so.
So I think you'd be very similar to what James Haskell probably wrote on it.
So I just don't, I don't think I would write it. Yeah, so, that's what I'd be thinking.
JB asked in the change rooms, is like, you can ask the players whatever you want. And
oh, here we go, JB.
And a couple of people ask, you know, well, you know, how do you get yourself psyched up for games, etc.? What's the atmosphere in the change rooms? And JB said, who does the most talking? And the guy said, well, Chris Robshaw obviously says a few words. Owen Farrell speaks a bit, and then you can't shut James Haskell up.
You can just imagine, can't you?
Yeah, oh, Haskell's man. In there. I was a little bit upset about that, but what can you do?
Sounds amazing.
One question for me. Most important question of the day. Mm-hmm. Who had the best quads?
Oh, Jonathan Joseph is out this
really?
World.
Really? That was just lean. It's not. I like size and leanness.
Yeah. There was a lot of good rigs knocking about.
It was.
He didn't know which way to turn. Owen Farrell was very good nick. He's tall as well. He's like...
Yeah, well, he's all man's big size.
I was desperate to ask Stephen Myler.
Corbs looked like he had a big old set of quads on him.
Yeah.
You can't get to that.
They're all pretty big.
They sound like they're getting put through the grinder, though, with the training.
Do they
said last week was...
That's why Robshaw was going, no, I don't want to leave.
He said it was last Thursday was the toughest day's training they've ever had. And they're not... We spoke to them, and I presumed they'd be doing, you know, hard work in the morning, saying, and in the afternoon, hitting line-outs and stuff. And I said, how's the line-outs going? They're not doing any of that until they get to Denver.
It's amazing,
they,
really?
They don't want to overload them with, you know, they're basically just setting a base level of fitness and then they're going to engage the brain.
I mean,
it sounds horrendous what they must do.
I don't know, either horrendous or... I mean, it sounds like they're embracing it.
They all relish it.
Yeah.
They said it's good, it's competition at the end of the day. Because not all of them are going to make the squad, so they're out there. It's a chance to put a marker down.
But the coaches will be going, right, let's see how far we can push them.
Exactly.
And by doing so, they're going to break a few of them.
See what Graham Rowntree came out and said this week about he doesn't want them all muscle-bound as rugby's moving away from that a little bit, that he wants them aerobically fit enough to last with the All Blacks till the 8 years. And that's how rugby is, you know.
I agree with that, but isn't it a little bit late in the day to be saying, we're a few months out, let's go, let's turn these players into aerobic players rather than...
It's 5%, isn't it? You know what I mean?
And you're still a long way out. Like, you can get a lot of fitness work done in 8 weeks.
See, my point is on this, and I made the point to Bryn on the way down when we were talking about this Rowntree article, which is, you fundamentally need different players. I mean, you can't just get a very strong guy and make him into a very,
like I say,
you know, cardio orientated guy.
But if that's assuming that you're either or.
I think
it's tweaking more one way or more another way.
But they're all round athletes anyway.
Exactly.
They have to be by the very nature of it.
The example I gave was Simmons, who's in Waikato, coming over to London Irish. Now, he's got a great build for New Zealand rugby, and they've all said if we could have him, we would have him. But actually, he's too small to play. Or was too small to play for Saracens. And I just think it's interesting, because that's the kind of athlete they like. And Brad Thorne said as much about Kitchener. He said if he was eligible for All Blacks, he'd probably have a cap, whereas he's nowhere near the England team. And I think that's the sort of player that they like. And whereas we just like the bigger guys, it's very hard to then turn that around and make them into the more athletic ones. You see what I mean?
You can get a guy that's the right shape and just...
Exactly.
Tweak the percentages.
Yeah, and I imagine it's more an issue for the forwards than it's going to be for the backs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Did you see one of the chaps from Men's Health got in touch with us on Twitter who'd been at one of the England training days last week, and he said they had a fitness test, a yo-yo fitness test for the entire squad. All
what's a yo-yo fitness test? Like a bleep test kind of thing.
Don't answer that. Because I asked the same question to Alex Corbusiero in my interview.
We'll hear that in a minute. All right.
But he said the winner, did you see who he said won the test from the whole squad?
No, I didn't see that.
You know, Jay, don't you?
I do know.
No. I would have a guess. Maybe Brad Barrett.
Yeah, Owen Farrell, maybe.
Interesting.
Correct team.
So what's the other Sarri's
winger?
Ashton.
Ashton is incredible.
Serious?
With his rugby league fitness background.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I asked which player was the fittest out of the front five. It was anyone outstanding, and you know, they said pretty much everyone is the same, but who do you think?
Tom Youngs?
No.
Marler?
Nope.
Mako?
No. Definitely not.
I was going to sound dear, mate.
I said, JB asked Mako, he said he must have been pretty hard after, you know, finishing the season so late with Sarri's winning, obviously, the Premiership, and then you're back straight on the horse, effectively. He said, I had 3 weeks off. And I said, did you do anything those 3 weeks? He goes, look, when you're like me, you can't afford to have 3 weeks off because he must eat a lot. So he's like, I had to keep it ticking over. But no, Matt Mullen, they said, was there.
Really?
He's got a really good engine on himself.
Oh. Yeah, he runs for days was the quote, or something along those lines. So probably not the quote. So what do you boys think of the shirt?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we should get onto the kit itself. Like you say, there's no surprises in a way. I think it's neat.
I really like it
a lot.
It's impressive the amount of engineering you can get into a 3D rose. I mean,
is this 3D rose injected into the shirt or something?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Well, if you want to have a look, what it really looks like, boys.
Oh no!
No way!
No!
So what we have here?
Oh wow!
God, that's tight. What size is that?
Is it this XL?
That's XL.
So you can see here.
Oh my God! That's a player's. Oh wow!
And who's? Have you signed that yourself?
Phil, get a picture of that before we can take it off. Get a picture of JB in the shirt. Who signed that?
Rob Shaw.
Chris Rob Shaw.
Do you know him? He plays back row.
Oh, Jay!
Oh, my God.
I've got one
as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You told me on we were WhatsApping earlier, and JB made out like he hadn't got a shirt.
So we did the whole thing.
Look at this, it's nice.
We did the whole thing with Canterbury, did the whole tour, and then we got upstairs, and the lady from Canterbury said, look, we've got a little surprise for you. Oh, lovely. And they handed these bags, and in it, in a box, really, really smartly done, we all got a replica shirt. And she said, if you want, you know, you can get it signed. So we waited because we said, right, let's get Chris Robshaw to sign ours. That'll be pretty amazing. And that's why.
Just think of England winning the World Cup.
I couldn't say.
That'll be worth.
I asked Robshaw to sign it, dear eBay.
We waited for Chris Robshaw, and he, in fairness to him, came over, signed our shirts when he could have left. He hung around at the end, you know, saw all the kids that were there. Everyone, me and JB were like kids.
I can't believe God. I wasn't there.
What a day. A day.
It's all right.
You guys would have loved it.
That's karma, that. Your microphone. Yeah. Wow.
So thank you very much, Canterbury.
Yeah, thank you very much to Matt from Canterbury for making it all possible.
Right. The kit, the away kit, the red, the two reds, I love as well.
It's good, isn't it?
I really like the proper, true red kit.
Well, awesome. What do you think of the two tones? I like the darker red more, but I can live with it.
I
look at it and think that's it must be horrible looking at it as a Welshman, thinking the England change kit is the kit Wales could have had.
That's true, actually. But if you look at the specifications and how they made this shirt, I kid you not, there is less planning that goes into some special forces operations. It's military precision, this thing.
Wow. Right, well, we're going to be talking stash in a little bit because England weren't the only team unveiling a new kit. We've got the Gloucesters to talk about. But we'll get onto that because right now let's hear from Twickenham when JB and Bryn were there having a chat with... Who do you want to hear from first?
Jamie George.
Where were you when you were talking to Jamie George?
Twickenham. In
I think Shakespeare Room 3. I think they're all
Shakespeare Room 3.
Yeah, they're all. It's massive. It's such a big complex.
Here we go.
All the boys have been so welcoming and been pretty crazy a couple of weeks, but it's been so intense, like the training and stuff. It's been cool. Like, all the boys have been so welcoming, and I think that's the sort of the sign of where the squad's at in terms of how hard they've been working, but off the field as well, everyone's getting on really well, which is good. So, you know, it's not been too daunting, which I thought it might be, but it's been a lot better than I thought it would be. So,
and how are you finding the kit?
The kit's awesome.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I enjoy the. Just like the rose specifically, the 3D element of it, I actually think it's cool.
Would you say that's the most over-engineered rose that you've seen?
100%, yeah. But it's
taking the rose technology to like the next level.
Yeah, 100%. But it's cool. Like, I think definitely comfy, so it's good.
It is pretty cool. So when you get your bag of stash from Canterbury, what do you get?
What, in the bag?
Yeah, so we get like personal little bits and pieces.
There's so much stuff in there. I was actually amazed at how much stuff is in there. So you open up a suitcase and then there's three different bags within the suitcase.
Awesome.
And and then every bit of kit that you could ever imagine is in there. Personalised socks.
Try it all on at the time.
I used to be able to be trying it on every all the time, but some stuff's still got this tag on at the minute.
At the risk of sounding like a kind of a Canterbury shrill here, have you seen that kind of like part base layer, part like baggy? So it makes your arms look big. Yeah, it's kind of like Lucia.
It's what I need.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I think I look 10% more handsome when I wear that.
You can quote me on that as well. I definitely, yeah.
So are all your friends and family kitted out in Canterbury stash at the moment?
Not at the minute. I haven't given it away yet. But my old man came over to my house the other day, and I was packing to come back into camp, and he was sort of eyeing up exactly what he wanted. So, yeah, I can't imagine that I'll leave with too much of it after this is all over. So,
just keep the like.
I'll keep the important bits, and they can have the rest.
Keep the match shirt.
Yeah, hopefully. Good.
So, can you tell us a bit about your rugby background, where you started playing, and then kind of the journey until you got to here?
I guess so. I started just at my local rugby club at Hartford Rugby Club when I was about 5 or 6. My old man took me down. Sort of my family were quite a big reason for me playing rugby. I've got two older twin brothers.
They still play?
No, one of them's a physio at Sarries, the other one's a rugby coach. He's a teacher, so they don't still play. They were twins, so they played like 10 and 12.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
And who's tougher?
Who's tougher? Oh, they're soft. So yeah, like they were. My brothers are very soft, actually. So, I'd actually prefer it if you did say it. Yeah.
You could have been the 13. And
yeah,
like,
I wanted to be. I wanted to be. Yeah, that was the plan.
The wheels were off.
Yeah, body shape dictated that I was.
You know, with your skills and also your pace.
Yeah.
Potentially, you and Tom Young's centre partnership. You know,
This is it. Yeah, when I was young. This is it. When I first started playing at Hartford, I played at fly half the whole time.
Did you really?
Yeah, fly half and fullback. So my first game at hooker was for county, when I sort of under 15s, and then sort of got picked up for county, and then played hooker for county, and then sort of got picked up in the Sarries Academy when I was about 14.
Because it all seems to have happened to you in a very, very short period of time. I mean, we've been starting Sarries now for 2-3 years.
Playing consistently for the last 3 years, my playing at Sarries got broken up a bit with John Smith arriving, so I sort of had a year and a half, and then. Probably a season of not playing, and then
did
the last
you learn
two or three
a lot
years.
From John Smith, though?
John was brilliant. Yeah, he was. His knowledge of the game is actually scary. How much he knows, and the thing that struck me the most was how humble he was, and just he was such a nice guy. One of the biggest names in the game.
Yeah,
and even now, I'm still in touch with him. And I went over to South Africa last summer for a wedding and stayed at his house for two or three days. And you know, to have that relationship with a guy like him is amazing. It's sort of just the sign of the sort of bloke
he is. Schalke, is it as well? Like
definitely. And my relationship with Schalke's gone on for 6 years now almost. As soon as I came in, he was always trying to teach me things and try and develop me as a player and a person. I've learnt a huge amount from him. And, it's nice for us now to be competing against each other.
Well, that's interesting to say competing, because when you look at the two of you, you always thought that Shotbritz is a bit more of a ball player, a bit quicker, and you a bit more physical, a bit more of a scrimmager. But then you go and score a brilliant try in the Premiership
final.
Not
the only one, though. There's been a few as well.
Well, yeah. So is there a little bit of competition now to exactly who has who is the fastest hooker?
No, because he's definitely faster than I am.
The video says otherwise.
Yeah. No, I don't know. The competition element of it is all very, it's very friendly. It's not a, but it's, you know, it's not a harsh rivalry or whatever. You know,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Makes both of us better players, I think. You know, we're very friendly off the field. And
what's it like in the England squad now, competitive-wise? Are you competing against people in your own position? Are they splitting you up and are you going head-to-head? Or
not necessarily at the minute, no. It's not really been going like that at the minute. No. It's more of a generic sort of been training, but then at the same time, it's, you know, you have bits of, you know, you obviously train with the guys that are in your position, so you're sort of aware of those guys around you as well.
Jamie George, it sounded like he was, it didn't sound formal at all.
It wasn't. It was really,
and Bryn just kicking back, having a coffee, having a natter with Jamie George.
Well, he's also committed to come on the podcast in the future, so apparently he's busy for the next few weeks, but after that...
next few months, maybe.
Well, yeah.
We'll definitely hold him to that. Brilliant. Really,
really, really good guy.
Really, he seems like a really top bloke. And we're going to hear from Alex Corpiziero and then Maco Vinopolo. I understand, joins you during that conversation.
Yes, yeah, he does.
We'll hear from that in a minute. But just to break that up, I know that there's a lot of Bath fans who...
seen the new Bath kit.
You've seen the new Bath kit?
Seen it.
Because that's made by Canterbury as well.
It most certainly is.
So go on.
Like, when two worlds collide.
Because we don't want to ruin the joy of seeing it for the first time, but just without giving anything away about the design.
Yeah, so don't be too descriptive, G.
Full hoops looks amazing.
Is it full hoops?
I think that's too much.
Sorry?
I think that's too much information, don't you? Doesn't that ruin
it? No, because it's got a little kicker, which I'm not going to mention, but it's very, very, very good. And it's already been leaked, so
it has on a key ring.
Yes,
it got leaked on the Bath website. There is key rings for the new season, which are in the design of the new kit.
Someone's getting fired for that one.
Which nerd has been going through? It wasn't you, was it, G?
Right. Well,
no.
While we're on the subject of Bath are the next team that we're doing our all-time. Professional, well, the all-time Bath 15 now. So last week it was Saracens. This week it's the turn of Bath. JB took Saracens last week. I'm taking Bath's all-time 15. So in the professional era, who are the best players to have worn the shirt? I do need your help a little bit. But what I have done since last week is got us a little bit of music to go along with this. You'll like this, boys.
Oh, yes. Oh, Tim's really bought into it, though.
Yeah.
Right, so in the Bath all-time 15, this is basically just of guys that have played for Bath in the professional era, the guys that wore the shirt best, had the best performances. And I start at Loosehead, David Flatman.
Yep.
At Loosehead.
Definitely.
From Paul James and Gareth Chilcott and all the other guys that worn the shirt down the years. Hooker. It's just a tight one. Jonathan Humphreys, I thought, might have warranted it.
He was a really
good player. Could play for Wales as well.
He captained Bath as well.
Yeah. But I gave it to Lee Mears.
Yeah.
Hobbit beats him for time served and just a fan favourite.
Yeah.
And was he one club man, Lee Mears?
He was. Yeah. 15 play. Years of Bath.
And the line.
I didn't know about the tight heads where I need a bit of help because I couldn't pick between, like, you got the three stages. Victor Abogu back in the day.
Mm. Yeah.
Matt Stevens about a decade ago.
Yeah.
And then, or a bit less than that. And then David Wilson now. I don't know if David Wilson isn't good enough that he gets in.
I think Matt Stevens is the boy.
I go Davey Wilson.
But, you know, when you're talking about...
tighter, these destructive...
But when you're talking about who wore it best...
I'm saying David Wilson.
You're saying David Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll give it to David Wilson then. If you're a Bath fan and you completely disagree with that one, then let us know at Rugby
After
Podcast on Twitter.
After seeing him today, definitely Davey Wilson.
Second row is quite a simple one for me because it's exactly the same second row as last week.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Borthwick and Grewcott.
That's right.
Yeah, happy with that.
Not Justin Harrison.
They're plank. They've had some good locks down the years. And David Atwood now, you know.
And
he's knocking on the door, isn't he? Absolutely.
Stuart Hooper. By the way, who's been a runner-up in both teams now?
Wow. Okay, now on to the back row. And I went for Andy Beattie at blindside.
Oh.
In the professional era.
Interesting.
The beast. I will declare a slight. He was at the same. He was doing the same course, same university as me. So I played with him. So I'm a little bit biased there. But
what about Luke Watson?
That would have been a shout. Yeah.
So I think Luke Watson was in them for two years,
and he was a beast as well.
Yeah, Luke Watson was good. Francois Lowe made my seven.
100%.
Yeah.
And I was looking
at it. I know who number eight is.
No, I was looking at it and going, there's not many contenders for seven. Since, like, Andy Robinson, I don't think Bath have actually had that many, have had particularly good sevens, really. So,
well, Michael Lippmann was all right.
Michael Lippmann was okay.
Salvi played very well for him.
Salvi did play quite well for him, but I don't think there's been anyone that's touched the class of low. And at number eight, you know who I've gone for.
Captain Dan Lyle.
Dan Lyle. What a great player. He was.
So easily forgotten.
He could have got into a World 15 when he was in his heyday.
Awesome.
Houston nowadays is good, but I was looking at that pack.
Gareth Delve was a good player.
Gareth Delve
could have been
the best player on earth.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that pack, and second row aside, I'm actually going, I don't know any players that would have got into Saracen's team last time. Maybe Flatman at Loosehead.
Mm. Yeah.
Saris was a strong start. They are the who's who of world rugby at one
Saracens
point.
Have just won the league, and hardly any of their current team got into that team.
That does show the strength.
Yeah, you're right. So, nine, Cooper or Klassens, and I struggled to pick between the two.
I'd go Klassens.
I like Klassens as well.
Klassens is in. Gareth Cooper goes out. I did like Gareth Cooper was just all fast twitch muscle, wasn't he?
Yeah, quick, wasn't he?
Yeah. Right, fly half then. Right. I'd have to accommodate Kat, surely.
Yeah. Well,
Kat's got to be in
there. Could you move my Kat out? Or?
Yeah, Kat could be 12 for me.
Right, so here's the decision, right? Because Guscott is in at 13.
Kat's
no,
got
no
be
question,
in.
Right? And I think you have to put Kat in. So 100%. either you go Kat 10, Tindall 12, Guscott 13, or you go Ford 10, Kat 12, Guscott 13.
I don't think Tindall makes it. That's
second
the
one.
Thing.
Second one.
Ford, Kat, Guscott.
Yeah.
Who was the other 10? Why are we missing
Stuart
a 10?
Bonds?
Well, then Butch James was the other one.
So Butch James is a class for them, to be fair.
Yeah. So I think still think it comes down to Kat Tindall Guscott or Ford Kat Guscott.
Ford Kat Guscott.
I reckon if you ask this question in 5 years, George Ford wouldn't even be a question.
No question.
Yeah.
Right, wings then. I thought you had to go Banners. He's their top try scorer.
Is he?
Last season. He's been there a while.
In the professional era, he's been an ever present, really. And on the other wing, he was awesome when he was there, Joe Maddock.
Oh, nice.
See, I'd like to accommodate Bolshaw.
Would you?
I like Bolshaw. I like Bolshaw
as fullback, though, surely.
Well, no,
Matt Perry.
Bender's at fullback.
Matt Perry.
Matt Perry, I went for as well.
Yours even close,
Over Nick Abendanen.
No Bolsh, no Benders.
I think I would have Bolsh on the wing.
Yeah.
Definitely, in fact. And also, just for you, I think Matt Perry's the most capped ever England fullback.
I don't know if I should give you a fact button, but I'm going to give you a tentative
fact. Or at least he was when he's playing.
He still was until very recently. It was. Yeah.
Did Lucy not overtake him then?
Maybe. But
quite possibly,
he was there for a long, long time. Matthew Perry, friends, no, mate.
Yeah, different
Matt Perry. Big left foot. Pezza. Yeah, you Googling him and getting Chandler from Friends. So I've got Perry at fullback, Banahan, Maddock on the wings, but you're saying that you like Bolshaw in there.
I would like Bolshaw.
Bolshaw's hot and cold a little bit for me.
Yeah, but even playing 10 for Bath, you know.
But when he was running,
when he was
like
hot,
a gazelle,
he was so hot,
gliding like over the ground.
He scored one try against Australia, and that was it.
Burst
then
onto the scene. He's
the best in the world.
Plus, he was
Graham
a good
Henry
lad.
Ruined him on that Lions tour, didn't he?
God knows what they did
his
to him.
Confidence.
Well, we can confirm. I'll confirm that one. Currently, Maddock, Banahan, Perry is my back three. But if you have a strong opinion and you're a Bath fan and you agree with these other boys that Bolshaw was better than those guys. Then get in touch.
Who were the wingers in when they were in the European Cup? I know Yeah and Evans was one. He was class, but he was over the hill by the time we got there. I think we're missing someone. Well,
we've not mentioned Phil de Glanville.
Phil de Glanville was a contender for centre. Yeah. He was a good club player and rugby league convert as well. There was John Slighthome was the winger back in the day when they were winning all the trophy after trophy after trophy. And then they had, was it Halliday? No, Halliday was...
No, someone, I do feel we're missing a monster name from somewhere.
If it takes us this long...
He's not that monster.
There's a few players that I haven't mentioned that I think deserve to be mentioned. I forgot about Richard Hill as a nine, potentially. Yeah. He was really good back in the day. And then you had good lock. Martin Haag was excellent.
Ollie Barkley, does he get a mention for Bath?
No. I can't believe you
really?
Didn't. I can't believe you didn't push me to say Big Gav.
We absolutely
mentioned.
Did. And also, I don't think Mike Tindall deserves to get in there because that is the big name, I guess, because he's basically a Gloucesterman through and through now.
That was the winger, Simon Halliday, but no, he doesn't get in.
No.
He played 170 games for Bath.
Wow.
Oh, well, unlucky, Simon.
But there you go. There's the Bath all-time 15. And next week, I'll tell you what, you can take next week's, Phil. What club do you want to do?
Well, you've got to do an order, mate.
So is it Northampton?
Northampton.
Northampton Saints next week. Phil has got that one. So give Phil a bit of help in advance at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Right, let's get back to the chats you had at Twickenham then. So set the scene for us then when you're chatting to Alex Corbisiero. You've already made the little rapping joke at this point.
Well, no. So I've already... He already knows who we are because I rudely interrupted their break. Yeah. And then Marla drops out of... media stuff for whatever reason.
We were allocated three players.
Marla was one of them.
Yeah, Mako. And getting forwards is better because you're obviously going to get a better chat.
It's better people only.
No, I'm not sure.
We got Mako and Jamie George, and we were supposed to have Marla. And I bet Marla would be really.
I went, Corbs, I want Corbs, I want him now.
And he came, in fairness. They requested, he could. Say no, but he's. We were
Can you imagine what
he's
going to say?
So approachable.
Who wants me? The guy who just asked you to rap? I would say no chance. But he was very accommodating.
Let's see how it went.
Favourite players?
Oh,
Alex.
Cheers.
Hi,
guys. Nice to see you.
Hi.
Hi, Alex. Nice to meet you.
So we've already met previously, just 5 minutes ago, and I tried to get Alex to rap, but unfortunately you're declining
He busted into the tea room.
Got it already.
Yeah, I know. Right time, right place.
Actually, overexposure. Elbow George Ford out of the way.
Yeah,
he's clawing.
I was flattered that he came to me first.
All the big dogs.
Yeah, all the big dogs. Owen Farrell. Everyone was in there. Beeline to me. But obviously, right time, right place. Can't overexpose the market. You know? You've got to keep the fans. You've got to keep them hungry.
It's obviously
hungry. I've got to keep them on the edge.
Let the Lions' memory just live on there.
Obviously, you're an avid fan of our podcast, so you'll know that we finish every podcast with your rap.
Yeah,
which you knew anyway.
I've heard.
So, how did all this rapping come about then? Come on.
I don't know. I started kind of doing this at about 13. It was more my friends in New York. I used to go spend every summer in New York until I was about 16. I'd spend two, three months there every summer, and I reckon I picked it up a bit over there. And it's something that's probably come reasonably easy to me, and I just enjoy it.
Awesome.
And people seem to like it. Some people find it cringe, but I enjoy it.
I imagine that your latest trip to the United States was considerably different to your days in New York.
Yeah. This is going to be a tough one, but look forward to it. I really like Denver. It's a beautiful place, nice city. Everyone's very friendly over there, and I really look forward to it.
And actually, we've just been joined at the table by Mr. Vinopola. Do you want to come around?
The Mac Daddy.
The Mac Daddy, indeed. just the record, me and Bryn are Welsh, so we've not quite got over the fact that you decided to play for England yet.
I'm not Welsh, so we're redressing the balance of the table.
good.
We've just had Jamie George over, and we were asking him who he thinks is quicker out of him and Scott Britts.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was Scott Britts, but after the final, we're not so sure. What's your view?
Scott, hands down. I could even try and argue that. I have no idea why, but no, Scott Britts, hands down.
Wow. Wow.
It'll probably be me then, because Salisbury's then him.
From a forwards perspective, I hear last week in general has been pretty intense in terms of training. A Tuesday afternoon session was brutal. What was involved in that? Because I heard someone said it was the worst session they'd ever done.
Just running.
Yeah, it was a lot of running. It was Tuesday was tough. Did some sort of running testing, fitness, and then we did more running, fitness, and conditioning games on top of that. And it was really, really hot. I reckon it was a tough place to be, but pushing through the pain barrier was the sort of the key message of the day.
What does it involve, the testing? What is it you do? Is it like similar to a bleed test?
Yeah, it's very similar. It's just a yo-yo test. So we did the yo-yo, and then we did a lot of... That was just like the warm-up of the session. Right.
So for individuals who aren't as familiar with the fitness drills, such as myself, as you can tell, what is a yo-yo test then?
It's like a hybrid of the beep test, I think. It uses the beep test levels or the speed levels from the beep test, but it's more like there, back, 5-10 seconds rest, go again, and it starts reasonably quick.
Just
off feet. You have like 10 seconds to make the cone, and then walk a little bit and come back, and then the speeds just keep getting faster and faster, and it's pretty tough.
Especially for big boys like us.
Is there anyone who's noticeably not better, but is there anyone who aerobically is stand out in the front row, or is everyone pretty much at a similar level?
We're all absolute sheets.
Good to hear.
I think we're all pretty fit across the board. I think Matt Mullins
probably
is very aerobically conditioned. Yeah. He seems to have legs and lungs for days. The front rowers, I'd say he probably stands out. But we're all pushing hard.
Good. And enjoying the competitive element of it.
Yeah, it's tough. We push each other, but at the same time we're mates and exactly. We get on well. It's a good balance.
Good.
Well, I think we're mates, man.
So, Denver, have you got any box sets planned?
I've been thinking about it. I need to finish House of Cards season 3.
Oh man, came up season 1.
I need to. I want to start Better Call Saul.
That is brilliant. Watch it.
And I'm like Netflix man, so I don't even need to. So, and then also Daredevil apparently is amazing.
No,
I've not seen that yet.
Is it alright?
Have you watched it?
Yeah, it's
everyone
right.
was raving about it, but
I haven't seen it yet. Have you watched Suits?
Oh, yeah. If you not watch Suits, let's just stop that now.
Suits is the one.
Suits is good.
Suits is terrible. We'll leave it there. Thanks, right. Boys.
Cheers, guys. Thank you
very much.
I love the fact that the conversation ends because they mentioned box set Suits. Oh, brilliant. Me and Phil were laughing. You didn't hear us, but me and Phil just erupted in laughter as soon as Mako Vunipola mentioned Suits.
Because we've actually heard JV talking on the box set pod about Suits.
He's been invited to and featured on another podcast expressly to go and slag off Suits.
Worst show in history.
You've only seen 2 episodes.
I don't need to see any more.
Oh, wow. That was good. Just the overwhelming thing I take away from today is that Canterbury and England rugby managed to convert 2 Welshmen into being, having England as probably your second favourite team as you go into a World Cup.
Well, here's the thing, right? Days like today make me wish I covered football. Because if I did cover football, I knew I could walk away from there still holding the England team with complete disdain. But I can't because they are good blokes and... Yeah, I will. There will be some part of me wanting them to do well. I'm not against Wales, but there will be some part of me wanting them to do well.
I feel exactly the same way. I mean, you can tell just it comes across in those interviews how approachable. They're just normal blokes who are doing what they love doing, like Mako said, for a living. You know, just no big egos. And if they were, they'd be weeded out the squad by the looks of things. And like Mako and Corbs are going to be going against each other for the same position, but they just look like good mates there. We saw Courtney Laws and Cruz like just mucking about, weren't they?
Nearly got into a grappling match.
Just having a little tussle, just messing around like you would in any other rugby club around the country. So, you know, I'd take my hats off to them. In fairness, they were gentlemen to be honest.
So JB and Phil, JB and Bryn have had an amazing day. On Saturday, if you're in the northwest Manchester area, or you can get to the Etihad campus, the Man City campus, the Academy Stadium is going to have in it a couple of World Cup winners, which I'm going to be interviewing for next week's podcast. Johnny Wilkinson, just JW.
Just a little one.
And Jason Robinson as well.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Rugby royalty.
Phil, you're missing that one as well.
I am. I'm in Barcelona with both of these two, actually.
Yeah, I don't know why people keep asking me the same thing. Today, I've been asked three or four times, would he be playing touch on the weekend in the Etihad? No, I won't be playing touch. I'll never play touch again, ever.
I would be playing if I was in the country.
Touch.
Right, I'm going to have to rattle through a few more things.
Some rugby.
Let me get a couple more bits just out of the way. Gloucester unveiled their kit. We thought it was their actual first team kit. It was the first kit in the Premiership for a Premiership club produced by X-Blades. On the strength of that, not particularly impressed.
I nearly removed my eyes to stop the pain.
It's if you haven't seen it, it's just their academy.
Thankfully,
and sevens team kit. It is ugly.
It's awful. It's bad. It's real bad.
On our WhatsApp group, we were going on about how just because it is ugly,
it makes you look horrendous. Fat. It's got, you know how some shirts have the shape cut out, so they have bits that are white and the colour bits. So to overemphasise the V in your upper body, this is the opposite. It makes you look like you're a big pudding. Around the middle.
I think it's called Belfit.
like a Weeble.
You said, Tim, this could be absolute marketing genius. Because
no, I said this.
I think you're fine if you look for one. I said it.
Well, someone said it, and so seeing as you two can't agree, I'll take credit.
Okay.
I said that this could be marketing genius because whatever kit they release for their first team kit is going to look incredible in comparison.
Exactly.
And so everyone will just flock to that first team kit.
Motivation.
Yeah. Awesome, encouraging signs coming out of Gloucester because their chairman, I want to say Steve Vaughan, isn't it? Yeah. Has said they've taken note of what the fans have asked for, and on top of that, they have now made a kit which only the first team can wear. So there's going to be an A kit.
I love that.
And a first team kit.
Yeah. That's nice.
So yeah, that is good.
Okay, so this kit, we can ignore it for now. And another thing as well, it makes James Hawk look like he's got the arms of Jermaine Jenas.
All right, so that's Gloucester's kit. We'll look forward to the unveiling of the first team kit in a couple of weeks. The other thing, we're going to have to rattle through this because time is short and we want to talk about the Super Rugby final. The A to Z of the World Cup, we're at the letters J, K and L today. And
Just one point from last week someone made on Twitter for I.
Yes.
A few people suggested Islanders.
Oh, we struggled with that
which grouped everyone together. But someone mentioned Ivory Coast, who qualified in 1995.
Wow.
Which I'd completely forgotten.
Their one and only appearance at the World Cup, which we'd all forgotten. Yeah. They're in. So, Jay, do we need to go beyond Johnny?
My immediate thought when you said Jay then was Johnny, but then there's Jonah.
Jonah. And there's a
never won a World Cup.
There's an interesting decision.
Oh, come on. He lit one up. He changed the face of rugby.
Exactly.
And he's still the top try scorer, the all-time top try scorer
really?
In World Cups.
But is another one as well.
What a Phil.
Fact. But it's Johnny. It's Johnny.
Yeah, well, but he can go in the W, surely.
There's a decision to make here, because if you push Johnny to W, it means you can't have Woodward.
Oh.
Okay.
But Johnny's Johnny as well. But then Jonah. But
Jonah could go to L.
Woodward could go under S as well. Sir Clive, couldn't it?
Sir Clive. Uh-huh.
Maybe. But it's definitely.
And there's also another JL in Jason Leonard, who's the most appearances.
Two World Cup finals.
Right, okay, so it depends. Do you like Spider-Man or do you like Iron Man? Because Jonah Lomu was an exceptional talent. I mean, that's what he almost like a supernatural talent. He was like nothing. It was not like playing with equals. Whereas Johnny Wilkinson did the best with what he had and got to the very, very top.
Yeah, but
that's different.
But in terms of this is the A to Z of the World Cup, and what the image of Jonah Lomu running over Mike Capp
and the whole England team
is just one of those rugby memories
But who personifies the rugby values more? Which of those two?
But I think we should have both of them. Wilkinson, we reserve him for W, which means no Woodward, but Jonah.
Someone's got to go.
Someone has to go. Yeah.
So Wilco, we'll push you to another day, Johnny. Jonah gets H.
Jonah gets J.
Sorry, K. I thought John Kerwin. He scored the first try in the Rugby World Cup. And he was an unbelievable best winger of his generation. and his era. Well, he absolutely just. Yeah. I think he was he easily got them top number of tries in the
Keith Wood
in the World Cup.
Well, the only other K I can think of is Kefu. He was very good for Australia when they won in 99.
Which one? You've got five to choose from, I think.
The number eight.
Totai. Is it Totai?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another New Zealander from the first World Cup, 87. The captain, David Kirk.
I think Kerwin's World a pretty Cup good one.
Yeah, Kerwin. He won it. He was the top try scorer in 87.
Did he coach someone to it as well?
He coached Italy in a World Cup, did he?
Yeah. I'm sure he's coached All Blacks.
That's not what he's going to be remembered for, is it?
At least he hopes
involvement, you know.
And he's had a pretty ropey season at the Blues this year, hasn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, correct us if we're wrong and we miss someone, but John Kerwin gets K. And again, I told that story about my mum having to go into work on a Saturday, and me and my brother went and bought the video of the 87 World Cup. We watched it and he was ridiculous. In the way that John Olomu was... just in a different
untouchable.
League. In 87, he was like John Olomu in the gap between him and every
other winger. John Olomu should really be remembered for is his effect he had on local club rugby when everyone started moving their flankers out to the
second
wing.
Rows. That's why Matt Banahan plays on the wing his whole career.
Overnight, they were just moving these big lads out.
Okay, hold on one sec. Right. Watch this John Kerwin try in the first World Cup. What are you doing? So I think this is the first try scored in a World Cup.
So Ambrosio kicks off. The Italians are beaten right out of the action now. New Zealand have scored 48
Kerwin.
Points and they might be looking for 50. John Kerwin.
Gats.
He runs like David Beckham, doesn't he?
That was awesome.
Wow.
From inside his own
22, yeah.
So, yeah.
And how did that game end? Draw? Win to Italy?
It was 70 points to 6.
Was that 4 points for a win as well, then?
Yeah, 4 points for a try.
Wow.
L. So we don't need it for Lomu.
Sorry.
So L.
L.
Could have Leonard.
Absolutely
Jason Leonard.
Could have Leonard.
I'd go. It was Lomu or Leonard for me.
I'd go
Leivramon maybe for what he didn't coach to a World Cup final.
Yeah, for being typically French. I'd go with Leonard.
Yeah,
yeah.
So our three names today, or three things in the alphabet: Jonah, Kerwin, Leonard. That's pretty meaty.
It has to be Leonard. Yeah. Just for that one story of coming on at half time and saying, "Ref, any problems? Let me know. I've been around a bit."
Yeah,
and that was it
in the 2003 World Cup final.
Only in the final, no
said,
big deal.
I'll go backwards and forwards. I won't go up and down. I won't collapse it.
Just tell me what to do.
Yeah, let's sort this mess out.
And he was there in '91 when England should have won the World Cup as well. Right, so then, I can't believe we're only just getting around to talking to actual rugby, but there's been so much to talk about. What with your trip to Twickenham, but Super Rugby final then.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Interesting. Sorry, I need to pick up my pen. So my initial thoughts, it wasn't that impressive. I mean...
What?
It was impressive in
He just loves being contrary, doesn't he?
It was impressive in its ambition, okay? But I don't think a lot... I mean, some of the offloads they were throwing were just reckless, to be fair. And both of them did it. And I think a more controlled team would have closed off that game much earlier. That was my initial thought about it.
I do agree with that. I think if you'd have put... We actually
Stephen
said...
Stephen Myler.
If you'd have put Stephen Myler on one of those teams, they would have won by 20 points.
Yeah.
Because he could have just got field position and... Then they're throwing,
there's a lot of missed pens as well.
Then they're throwing 20-yard missed passes in the opposition's 22 rather than their own 22.
I mean, it was amazing to watch.
It was really exciting, wasn't it?
You don't get it in the Northern Hemisphere, the ambition to play. We saw it on the last weekend of the Six Nations, and we all sat here and applauded what the ambition that the international teams had, because they were forced into it.
Yeah.
You know, but these guys have got it, and it sets them apart, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but you know, one of those teams could easily have lost because of how reckless that they were. Now, as it happens, they, you know, at the summit of Southern Hemisphere rugby, so we can't criticise too much.
Yeah.
But I think we just need to be careful before we lavish praise on them, because
It's not the sort of rugby that's won World Cups traditionally, actually,
no,
is it, in fairness?
No, not at all. But when the All Blacks, so it's two New Zealand teams, when the All Blacks play, they will not play anything like that.
No.
I'll tell you what, when the All Blacks play, they won't play anything which looks like the Highlanders, because the Highlanders, I mean, okay, they've got some All Blacks there, but how many of those boys, except for outside of Aaron Smith, are nailed on to start?
None in the pack. Aaron Smith and Ben Smith in the back. In the back line.
Ben Smith.
And then maybe Naholo is in it for an outside shot, and maybe Fekitoa.
I know,
so
it's
you
crazy,
could say
isn't it?
Two probably nailed on, and then two more
and then
might have a shot.
For the Hurricanes, though,
they've got a few more
Conrad
than that.
Smith.
Smith and Nonu, Julian Surveyor, Bowden Barrett and TJ Perenara are both in the squad.
Bowden Barrett did not cover himself in glory, did he?
No, he didn't. Tell you what, I absolutely loved. So during American sports, you get special teams. Well, apparently Highlanders have got one guy on their team who only comes on to dummy drop goals. And I thought, what an amazing skill this is.
Marty Banks.
Who's Marty Banks? This frail little 12-year-old comes on and he drops into the pocket twice. Dummies, nearly puts someone over except for Surveyor's try.
That tackle by Surveyor over the line. Oh, my God.
Special teams! It's like some sort of baseball closer or something. It was... Oh, and who was the Barracuda? Who is this fella?
Elliot Dixon.
No, Buckland. Who are these people? It's exactly... Michael Leiner said at the end, same as I shouting at the TV all the time, who are these guys? And Michael Leiner said, who are these guys? They're all like from local rugby clubs and it's brilliant. It's a great story. But I don't think we're making it the All Blacks.
Do you not want to see it? And this is another reason why I'd love a global season. Do you not want to see a kind of world championships just to see what the comparison is between Toulon and Highlanders?
They did it last year, didn't they? They played
Sharks in the warm-up, didn't they? And they lost.
The one game I'd love to see is Saracens versus these boys. Because Saracens always have like the strategy. And how are they going to close out that game when they're throwing 30-yard mispasses in their own 22?
It's going to be like a cavalry running into machine gun fire. That's how I imagine it going down.
You'll lose a few, but you might get all you need. All you need is to get one in there.
Saracens just man the machine guns. And down they go.
It was an amazing spectacle and brilliant. That's what you want finals to be like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Premiership
was
final was good as well.
It's different, isn't it? It's difference between catching mackerel and catching one big tuna. That's just the difference.
Initially confusing analogy, but
ultimately brilliant.
Ultimately, like catching a big tuna.
Exactly.
When you get it.
Exactly.
A bug tuna.
I loved you.
Bean Smith. Well, it's such a peculiar accent.
It is a peculiar accent.
It's so hard to do.
It is really hard to do.
Bin, and then that's it.
Bin.
Confuse all the vowels.
What have you learnt from the Super Rugby season?
It's really good around playoff time.
Fiji have lots of talented wingers who aren't going to be playing for
four.
Fiji.
Four in one game, was it not?
Just Naholo and Nairavolo, who've been selected for the All Blacks.
The week before it was against Waratahs.
The Wallabies. Yeah.
Because, of course, what's his name is? For now.
Any other business, gents, before we're done?
Well, Wednesday, 3 a.m. 3 a.m, I'm setting my alarm.
Is it Apia?
You don't watch it?
Apia, is it?
Apia, the capital of Samoa. Yeah, I'm going to set my alarm. It's only a couple of hours before I know.
Well, I get up about that time to come and do my show.
I will be watching it. I might watch it at 8 o'clock.
Samoa hosting the All Blacks for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've been reluctant to go there, haven't they, in the past, New Zealand.
Are you surprised?
They've been
just out of
scolded
guilt.
For it. But it'd be interesting to see.
When New Zealand put out their second team, it's usually devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Yeah, the first team's got a few Samoans in it, so.
Well, I mean, the reason it's so devastating is because these guys really want to get... I mean, the first team might go easy, but the second team are chomping at the bit.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this on a later podcast because Brian brought to our attention a team that could be assembled from Samoans playing for other countries, and it's ridiculous. There's nothing we can do as a podcast but highlight it, but someone somewhere at World Rugby needs to try and buck this trend for the good of the game.
The eligibility rule.
We should talk about this another time, but what you'll get is a load of guys who'll just come and play to get the money in Europe and won't bother international rugby at all, which is already happening.
which is another element of it.
No, they'd still play. Like, there's a lot of boys like Census Johnson. Those boys still play for
Tim Nanai Williams is making his debut for Samoa. That's worth mentioning. He's someone who the All Blacks had on his radar.
How would you know about Tim Nanai Williams?
In what respect?
He was a Barbarian the same time that you were, mate.
You played with him?
No, I didn't. Didn't play
with
him.
He's the same squad, were you not?
He may have played the week before, but I thought
you were the same squad. Well, take it back then.
Bryn, you know, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thanks for representing us at Twickenham.
Thank you very much.
Keeping that one in line.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the invite. It was an absolute pleasure today, so thanks, guys.
No problem at all.
You lucky.
Oh, so jealous.
I'm going to try and get over the border now. I don't know which way I'm going to go. Because everyone knows I've got an England kit signed in my bag. I don't know if there'll be a mob waiting for me.
Hell, in a traffic stop, you may as well have several kilograms of cocaine. You'll be in better shape.
Hopefully this isn't going out live.
Nice one, JB, and nice one, Phil.
See you later, Tim.
Cheers,
guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.